Hello everyone, and welcome to another Windows 7 session here on Channel 9. With me today, Reid and Ian, please introduce yourself.
I'm Reid Townsend. I'm a program manager in WEX working on touch and multi-touch.
I'm Ian Mendiola. I'm a program manager working on multi-touch as well.
And my name is Yohar Kiryadi, and I'm a technical evangelist working on Windows 7. So, Reid, welcome back. Great to have you again, Ian. Welcome.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yes. And today we are obviously going to talk about multi-touch, and we're going to dig into the APIs and into all the internal stuff, and we're exactly going to see what gestures are and how to use multi-touch and manipulation, what's all the different options that developers have.
Yeah. Last time we gave a bit of an overview. We talked about gestures and a lot of the features in Windows 7 for touch. We talked about the good, better, best model. Good being what the OS provides by default for applications, better being things like gesture notifications and some of the simple ways to get touch into an existing app, and then the best bucket, you know, if you're building something optimized from the ground up for touch. And we'll go into more detail with some code samples and whatnot today.
Right. So actually we're not going to talk a lot about the good options. We are just going to focus on the better and the best.
Yep.
So off with that, the better basically is supporting gestures.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things in the bucket. In general, better is about what you can do very easily with an existing app to get touch. There are a couple other things like inspecting mouse messages and seeing whether they come from touch or a regular mouse and some other things that we'll cover. But yeah, the bulk of the bucket is around adding support for WM gesture.
Cool. So just to recap what gestures are.
Gestures are sort of one or two finger inputs that translate into some action. You know, things like the canonical pinch and spread for zoom, or two finger or one finger panning, rotation, things like that. Those are some examples of gestures. The OS does all the detection for these for you. If you're using WM gesture, you don't have to do anything on your side except tell us how you want to receive these notifications. And then we will provide notifications through WM gesture messages when the user performs these over your window.
Cool. So basically, gestures are for free, right? I mean, if you're running on Windows 7 and you're a developer, and basically the application will actually get the gestures.
Yes, you don't have to do anything to register for them. Your application always receives WM gesture messages. You can handle the set of them that are important to you and that make sense, and you can use things like the set gesture config API to tell us you don't want rotation or turn off other gestures or change the behaviors of them and so forth. If you do nothing, your message pump gets the messages, they will fall through to the DefWin proc, and then the OS will see that they're unhandled and kick off legacy support for you where they make sense. We will try and find your scroll bars and, you know, handle panning messages. We will respond to zoom messages and generate control scroll wheel in the event that you handle control scroll wheel and change your view, that sort of thing.
Right, so this is how an example you showed in the previous video, like Word, is being used to.
Yeah, we showed Office 12, the old version of Word, and that's a good example of a legacy app. They obviously haven't done anything for touch in the previous version, and you can see how control scroll wheel zoom gets mapped to control scroll wheel, and how when we pan, the scroll bars are found and we drive them and so forth in response to the pan.
Sweet. So Ian, you have an example that shows like a very very simple rudimentary scroll bar which. We're going like the legacy system, we haven't touched it, right?
Right.
So the default behavior.
So going on the theme of good, better, best scenarios, we'll start with the good scenario, which is just essentially a scroll bar. We haven't done anything to handle WM gesture. Right now in the code, we have it commented out, and we can see that if we start panning, it begins to move it, and we get a bit of inertia there as well. And then we have that bounce at the end that indicates that you're pretty much at the end of the content. So what I'm going to show now is basically handling WM gesture and stepping into the realm of the better model. So I'll just close this, go in my code, and I will uncomment out my code here. And essentially what this does is it begins handling the WM gesture messages. And from the WM gesture messages, you get gesture info, things like XY coordinates, different deltas if when the user starts to move their finger, and then you can apply it to pretty much anything you want. what we're going to apply it to is the scroll bar to sort of achieve the same panning effect. And in this particular case, we want to sort of slow down the panning, the default panning. So I have over here handling the GID pan DWID. And all this information can be found on MSDN for the different information you can get in the structure.
So we should talk a little bit, I think, about unpacking the structure.
Right. So.
So the default message is the WM gesture, right?
The default message is WM gesture.
And what that contains.
And WM gesture contains, so first, before you start getting any of the gesture info, you have to allocate some memory for your gesture info.
Sure.
From there, you just call the get gesture info function. And what it does is it pretty much populates the gesture info into the struct that you've allocated above.
And the gesture info contains specific information.
Correct. So,
per specific
for gesture. Instance, the GID, for instance, the DWID tells you what sort of gesture was performed. So things like pan, zoom, rotate, that sort of thing. And from there, you begin to handle those specific types of gestures in your code.
Okay.
So for this particular sample, we're handling the pan, and in order to override the default legacy behavior, which was in the good tier. So now we're looking at the better tier. Get out of here, and then we'll run it. And then this is simply just going to override it, and it's going to have a slower pan for inertia. So if I go like this, you'll see that it's a lot slower than
the previous
one that I showed you.
Cool.
So moving on, to show more of the better scenario and diving deeper into WM gesture and the gesture API, I have another sample that I could show you, and we can dive more into the code. And at the beginning, we'll have just a simple rectangle on the screen, and as you can see, there's no gesture support for it yet, so we will begin to build this to sort of give you a walkthrough of how to go about doing that. So the first thing I'd like to show you is handling the WM gesture notify message. And this is pretty much the ideal place where you want to start doing things like setting up the gesture configuration info. And what the gesture configuration info does for you is it allows you to specify what specific type of gestures you want your application to handle. So things like if you want to only exclusively handle rotate and pan, or if you want to handle them all, you can do that through setting the gesture configuration.
Yeah, WM gesture notify is a sort of morally equivalent to, hey, heads up, a set of gestures is coming. And it lets you dynamically tell us how you want to respond to gestures. Maybe you don't have a scroll bar at the moment because the window's been resized or there's some new content showing, so you don't support panning at the moment. But if there was a scroll bar, you would support panning. Or maybe in some modes you support rotation, but not. WM gesture notify is a way to dynamically tell us what you support at any given moment. You always get one of these before a sequence of gestures.
Cool. So this is basically allowing developers to dynamically alter the way their application behave and react to human interface, to the input per the scenario,
yes.
Per the case they are at.
Yeah. Often people at window creation time will use set gesture config to specify some sort of base behaviors for their window, like I always support panning. And then dynamically, they can also change, you know, maybe rotation is on sometimes and off other times. They can use WM gesture notify to do that.
Cool.
And we'll see.
What
are
we seeing?
Example.
Right. So what I'm doing right now is I'm beginning to handle the gesture WM gesture notify message. And this line is essentially the creation of the gesture configuration. And right now, I have it set to all gestures. So it doesn't end there. We have to call set gesture config, which basically sets the configuration for you. So I'll begin to write that.
And you can, for the gesture config struct, you can basically put any combination of any sort of gestures.
Yeah, the gesture config struct tells us, you know, a particular gesture that you're interested in, like pan or all the gestures or some subset of them, and then interesting information about them, like I want pan to behave this way, I want the gutter on or I want the gutter off, or I don't want inertia. You can specify. Pan has the most settings. A lot of the other gestures are just sort of on or off. But the gesture config struct is what goes into set gesture config and is how you set up the characteristics of gesture recognition for your window.
So it's not just we support gesturing on and off. You can actually set different parameters for pen, as you mentioned.
Yep. And we'll talk about that a little bit more.
So I call the set gesture configuration function. And from there, we can start handling the WM gesture message. The WM gesture message, again, is where you can start unpacking the information and start getting things like the different IDs in order to handle rotations or panning or scaling, two-finger taps, that sort of thing. So right now, I have a handler that I'm going to basically pass. I'm going to pass the gesture information to, and then unpack it in my handler. And the reason for this is just, you know, to further keep the main CPP file really small, and it's easier for developers to follow when it's all abstracted into one area.
Sure.
So from there, we'll start inspecting the gesture engine to see how we handle these specific gesture infos.
Sure.
So I have here my gesture engine. And this is, if we scroll up here, we can see that we essentially allocate space for the gesture info and call the get gesture info function. And this will essentially unpack it and place it in our gesture info struct.
Right.
And from there, once all the information is in there, we can then begin inspecting the information and doing what's necessary to achieve the desired effect.
Okay, so I see here that we have a begin event and an end event. So what are the begin and end events?
Do you want to handle that?
Sure. So the begin event is essentially where the user places their finger on the screen, and then it basically notifies that the gesture is about to begin. And then the end is when the gesture ends.
Yeah, so two things I would add are WM gesture sequences can contain multiple gestures. The user might have put one finger down and started a pan, and then put a second finger down and turned it into a zoom, and then start panning again, maybe with two fingers. Because the fingers are down in one sort of continuous set of motions, it's one sequence from our point of view. And you will get one bracketing begin and one end, and then all the gestures in between. So begin and end really give you a marker for that sequence of gestures. Another important note about them is you should always pass them to defwinproc if you want the legacy behaviors for any gestures. If the OS doesn't see the beginning and the end markers for a gesture sequence, we can't provide legacy behavior for anything in the middle. So if you want legacy behavior now or you think you might in the future, make sure to hand begin and end to defwinproc and not mark those specific messages as handled.
Okay. And then for each message, basically, we get its event. So you mentioned that you can actually compound different gestures, but you cannot combine the same one. So I cannot rotate and zoom at the same time.
Yeah, there are some limitations. WM gesture is very much designed for existing document view style applications and the sorts of interaction they support. There are some limitations, like you can't do rotation and zooming at the same time. If you want something like that, you can use the manipulations API, but WM gesture is very focused on a specific set of tasks.
So this was, you mentioned, this is this is what's easy to do, rather easy than
do.
And we'll cover the zoom and rotate at the same time later.
Yep.
Cool.
Right, when we enter the best realm, we'll see that. So we'll begin handling panning. And so if you remember the rectangle on our screen that we couldn't move around, after handling panning, we should be able to move the object around. So let's actually look at the code that we wrote to handle GID pan. So the first thing you should notice here is that there's the DW flags that's included in the gesture info. And the two things to note is basically the part where the user actually touches the screen, which is indicated by a GF begin DW flag, and then when the user begins to move the object, so the delta.
Yeah, there's a couple other things that come in, the flags, things like inertia. If you wanted to handle panning inertia differently than just regular panning when the user's fingers are down, you could. For example, if you didn't want inertia, you could inspect the DW flags and see that the inertia flag was set and then drop all of those messages on the floor if you didn't want to support inertia. Or you could also turn it off with set gesture config. Maybe you want, you know, some special trail after your item, like sparkles or something when it's inertia. You know, you could do that, you know, by looking at that flag and seeing that the messages are now inertia messages and the user's hand has come off.
Right. For those of you who don't understand what inertia means, it's actually we are picking and continuing the gesture as being as natural, to feel natural, so it doesn't stop immediately after I pick up my finger or something like that.
Correct.
Okay, sorry.
So here in the GF begin, what we do is we take the X and Y coordinates that you can get from the gesture info, and we're setting it in some member variable that we're going to use later in order to calculate, say, the delta for moving the object across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
From here, after you've gotten your first point, we're going to begin calculating the delta by constantly setting the second point and then updating the screen, and that's how we sort of get the effect where we're sort of moving it. So that's essentially what's happening here is we see that we're the GI is the gesture info that we initially created up above, and we're going to set it to our member variables. And then same
so this is the location that the fingers went down and began the pan gesture.
Yes, at the beginning.
Yes.
And then once you get the begin, you get messages which fall through the default. So how many gesture messages do we get?
That's a good question. We will limit the amount of gesture messages to no more than 30 per second because we send these to every application. We don't want to flood people's message queues and so forth. Additionally, the OS coalesces gesture messages for you. So if you aren't pumping your message queue that fast, whenever you do get around to pumping your message queue and retrieving a WM gesture message, you will get the most recent gesture state. But assuming you were pumping fast enough, you would get them no more than 30 per second.
Okay.
Okay, so let's run this, and we should be able to see the object move now that we're handling the pan gesture. So we can move it left and right, up and down, and this happens when we handle the pan gesture, and we're constantly updating the drawing coordinates based on what's contained in the gesture info.
Right, so it's important to understand eventually that the gesture support or the gesture event just get you, hey, here is where the user actually touched the screen, here are the points.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the developer's responsibility to actually, okay, so I need to calculate the data, to
evaluate
the rec, to decide what to do upon the messages.
At a conceptual level, you get a notification about what gesture the user has just performed over your window, and it has things like the center of the gesture, some interesting gesture-specific arguments. If I'm panning, it'll tell you how far you've panned, how far you zoomed, what angle they've rotated, that sort of thing. And there, you know, there may be other sub-arguments and other interesting information in the struct, but the basic idea is user performed a gesture, there may be some sequence of gestures coming, and here's all the appropriate sort of sub-information for each of those gestures.
Okay. And then, again, developers are responsible for doing whatever they want. In our case, invalidating the rec, repainting it, and et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So another important sort of information that you get from the gesture info is things like arguments you would need for rotating an object. So we'll go ahead and we'll implement the GID rotate.
Okay.
Handle the GID rotate case. So this will allow us to begin to rotate the object by performing a rotation gesture. So it's similar to above, to up above. Where we handle the GF begin. So this will be sort of our cumulative angle that we're going to be getting from the gesture info.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is also a matching GF end. If you need it for some reason, you need to do some cleanup at the end of handling a gesture. Obviously, there is both begin and matching end in the flags. This app's very simple. We don't need to do anything interesting to clean up. But if you did, there is a GF end that you can do cleanup on.
Sure.
So if you put it all together, everything that we discussed, here's a more enhanced example where it kind of incorporates a lot of the ideas that we talked about so far. And it's essentially the start to maybe like a photo app that we're used to seeing. So this is using WM gesture And you'll see that it implements a lot of the different things that we talked about, such as pan, rotate, scaling, and like the two-finger tap. So we have here a simple photo, and we can do things like scaling it, and then maybe like panning it. So you can pan it around. You can do a rotate. And one of the things that we didn't see was what happens when you do a two-finger tap. So this particular example decides to handle it. We're doing some sort of animation effect. So this also has inertia involved, so we can throw the photo to the side, that sort of thing.
And basically, this is all done with gestures.
Yes. Yep.
There's no special manipulation inertia.
No, correct. Gestures. This is all built on top of the dubbing gesture support. As we mentioned before, there are some limitations. For example, you couldn't rotate and zoom here if you're trying to do those both at the same time.
Right.
But leading into what we want to talk about next, you can build this with the Manipulations API,
right,
and get more flexibility and more power.
But for the better bucket, this is really impressive as far,
yeah,
how far can you go with just basic gestures.
Yep, correct.